we continue through the journey on the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Today we move into the next fruit, that is the fruit of love. And as we said in the past, the fruits of the Holy Spirit are, you could define them as holy symptoms. You know, when we were doing COVID, there was a list of symptoms like coughing, fever, loss of the sense of taste. They are all signs that maybe you had COVID. You will even go to Taco Bell and feel nothing, like they taste like cardboard, no? Like, so those are symptoms of the sickness. So these are the fruits of the Holy Spirit of Galatians 5. They are symptoms of union with Christ. Effects that happen when you are united to him. And the Bible lists many of them. You could summarize them in 12 fruits, but there's three that are the most important. And they are the ones we have been speaking: peace, joy, and love. The three main fruits of the Holy Spirit, the three main effects of union with Christ, the three main holy symptoms you should expect in your life if you draw closer to Christ are joy, peace, and love. And today, as we celebrate on this fourth Sunday, this feast, or I don't know what is the name, this Mass of Jesus the Good Shepherd, we're also invited to pray for vocations to a priesthood and the consecrated life. So let us ask through the lenses of Jesus the Good Shepherd in John 10 for this gift of love. So I invite you on this Sunday to pray for three graces. One is the grace of receiving the gift of love in your life. Two, the gift of intercession. And three, the gift of docility. So one, let's pray today for the grace of the fruit of love. Jesus is the good shepherd. He lays down his life for us. He has this self-sacrificial love, and he wants us to love like him. He somehow, in contrast with the hired man, says the gospel, who has no concern for the sheep. I don't know you, but when I read that line for the first time in preparation for this Sunday, I thought, that's like really sad, that you would live your life and have no concern for others. You just live a self-seeking life, self-centered life, self-withdrawn life. That's the opposite of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. His life and his heart is abundant, self-giving. And the more we encounter him, the more we are united to him, we should expect in our life a change in that direction of becoming more selfless, more self-giving. I just make a public confession that I am, for the first time, reading, almost done, with the Chronicles of Narnia. So I reached this age of my life and I haven't read them, so don't feel bad if you haven't read them. But I don't know if you remember, in one of the books, in the Voyage of the Down Trader, there's this English boy, Eustace, who is kind of very selfish. He's taken into Narnia, he's very critical. He's always thinking about himself. He cannot do anything for others. So Aslan makes him a dragon. Basically, what he is in his heart, that's what he converts into, like this dragon. And then he begins to repent. And then he encounters Aslan, the lion, who is a symbol of Jesus. He begins to take the skin of the dragon. Then he goes into the water of baptism. And then he becomes human again. And when he's human, he goes back to the community. And he's now different. He's loving, taking care of others. He encountered Aslan. He encountered the love of the Good Shepherd. And he begins to love like him. So the best example of this is the saint. The saints illustrate this principle, that union with Christ leads to deeper charity. Why did St. Damian of Molokai spend his life serving the lepers and even dying of leprosy in Hawaii, in Molokai, because of the love of Christ burning in his heart? Why did Mother Teresa left everything and spend her whole life serving the poorest of the poor? Because of the love of the Good Shepherd burning in her heart. And that's how Jesus wants you to be. He doesn't want you to be self-absorbed, self-seeking, always thinking about your life. He wants in your life, he expects in your life, the fruit of love, the fruit of self-sacrificial love, the fruit of being like him, a good shepherd who gives his life in service of others, that you live for the sake of others every day of your life in small things and big things. That's why that's the first fruit we should pray, the literal fruit of love, very simple. The second fruit we should pray on this day of prayer for priestly vocations and consecrated life is a gift of, as a community and you as a person, of interceding. You should pray both for priests that you know and that are already consecrated to God, already ordained, and then for more priests in the church. You should always pray for those two intentions. Why should you pray for priests? Well, because priests need your prayers. God wants you to pray for priests. God wants the people of God to pray for their shepherds. Priests are not kind of robots that have no temptation. They are under spiritual attack many times, and they need your intercession. Plus, it's a win-win. Like praying for your priest is like praying for your doctor or praying for your barber. Like, if they're good, you're going to be happy. Like, it's a benefit for you. If you pray for your priest, maybe the Mass will be more lively. Confessions will be more fruitful. And even the homilies, they will be shorter. So that will be a miracle, but you can keep praying. So pray for your priest. They need your prayer. They need the intercession. But also pray that the Lord may send always to the church more people to serve him. Pray always that the people of God may have the priest the church needs. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 9. The harvest is abundant. The harvest is the world. Like, the need is abundant. The need for the proclamation of the gospel, for sacraments, for leadership in the church is abundant, says Jesus. Those who are working are few. So what is the solution? Pray, ask the Lord of the harvest, the Father, to send more laborers. What is the solution for the shortage of priests? Many, many reasons. But one of them that Jesus told us to do is to pray. So in the last week, in the last month, have you prayed for that intention Jesus asked you to pray? When you pray the rosary, especially in the fourth mystery, you can ask explicitly the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers to the church. You need to have like a forward-thinking mentality. You need to have a future-thinking mentality. What is going to be our legacy to the next generations of a church? What is going to be the church we are going to live to the next generations? Let's say 100 years. Let's say your grandchildren or the grandchildren of your grandchildren. Are we going to leave them with more priests, a lively church? That depends on answering to this request of Jesus, praying for more priests. Now, when it comes to this prayer, be careful of kind of asking God to call people outside your circle. No, you should pray that the Lord may send people from this place, from this community. If you are forming a family, if you have children, pray that the Lord may call someone in your family. Don't say like, Father, like, yes, we need more priests. Call my neighbor, they have so many children, or call this family in front of me at church. No, like in your family, your siblings, if you have sons, daughters, offer them to God. Do what the mother of Samuel did, like, Samuel, you gave it to me. I will raise him, and I then will offer it to you. So pray especially for the grace of vocations inside your family, inside your family. In my family, we are four brothers, and two of us, we are priests. I have no credit, so I can say this like freely without any vanity or pride, but that's 50%. It's pretty good ratio, no? And so one of the reasons this happened is the support of my parents. When my brother decided to be a priest, he came after me. My dad said to Father Ivan, he leads our community, he says, Father Ivan, two, one was challenging, two is enough. So it's like, okay, like, great, I support them, but we close the store here. So be supportive of vocations to priesthood in your family and pray for that grace. The final thing we should pray, first love, second intercession. The last one is docility. Docility is the virtue to allow God to lead your life. The gospel today, John 10, is very simple. It's very simple. Jesus is the good shepherd. And we are the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. He knows what is better for you. He knows what is your mission in life. He knows what are the green pastures, the waters that will refresh you. He knows it. And you need to follow. You need to be docile. Now, this is not so easy because we don't like to give up control. We want to have our life in our hands and kind of decide by ourselves. We want to be self-sufficient. So pray for the gift of being docile in your life. Being docile to the mission and the calling God has for you. Pray for the grace of always saying yes to the places, the direction the Good Shepherd is leading you towards. Only then you will be fruitful. Only then you will be joyful.